I wanted to share some things with you and then invite one of our members who has had a word from the Lord to share with us. But I wanted to give like just a little bit of a pre-text or a pre-conversation about this so that you're aware of what the Lord is doing in our church, but also scripturally where these things are coming from. So as we make room for the work of the Holy Spirit in our church, one of the things that we want to do better as a group of leaders is communicate and instruct carefully about what the Holy Spirit is doing within the church as gifts are used. Okay, so that is something that we wanted to do. So we want you to understand that things are based in the written word of God, but we also want you to capture God's heart in it. Okay? And God's heart for his church is that you would not be tossed to and fro by everything or led by your feelings or your opinions on different things, but that you're guided by God's word and his heart towards the church, which is to build her up and present her blameless. One of the things that we've noticed is there can be a familiarity of just certain kinds of ways of operating. So when someone says, I have a word from God, or oh, I want to share something, we tend to hear it and then just passively settle into like, okay, maybe I got that, or maybe I didn't get what that person was saying. We want you to be able to test and discern rightly what God's word says about something and then how to act in result, because we don't want a passive response when God speaks. So there will be times during worship or just someone in, you know, like after a service, someone shares something with you and you go, oh yeah, great, thanks. But you don't respond to the Lord. We do not want a passive response when God speaks. So that is something that I would like to just quickly talk about. So we are used to often hearing words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment, concerning something. These are things that are often spiritual gifts that we're familiar with being practiced, but we're not practiced on the back end of that, which is how do we discern what God is saying to the church? So there are certain things that are for me personally, and then there are certain things for the global, or what we call the local church, that I'm placed with. So I need to share certain things with my church body that will be for the building up and the equipping of the church. I want to talk specifically about one area, because God uses different delivery methods, okay? I'll phrase it that way. Different delivery methods of how God speaks to his church. We are most familiar with what we would call just impressions, that I really feel God is saying something in the meeting, or something like it'll either be a scripture verse, but you feel led to share that. Or it could be an impression about something God was showing you. It could be like something in your mind's eye, or something that was like a feeling of God's heart towards the church, and you want to share that. But there are times where God is speaking specifically just to you. And to discern, is this for me or is this for the rest of the church? In Joel chapter 2, I just want to go there quickly. Verse 28 to 29, it says, it talks about the days that we are currently living in. Okay? So we're talking about the old covenant, which was with the Hebrew people, which God, when God called Israel out, and there was a temple and there was a way of operating within God's temple. But he was talking about a time that was coming, which you and I are living in now. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On even the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Now, this was talking about John chapter 7 when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit who was to be given, not to special people. Because back in those days, God would anoint a prophet or a person to speak the things of God to the people of God. But in these days, he's not a regarder of position as much as people who are submitted to the Holy Spirit. So God could use any one of us in the room to speak to the whole church. But we need to be people who are saying, Lord, we want to be yielded to you as a group. But individually, in my heart, I want to be submitted to the Lord. So the part that we're used to impressions and things like that, the one delivery system that we're not often familiar with, which I just read out of Joel, is visions and dreams. The Lord will give impressions which are not things that you're aware of just normally, but you will see it in your mind's eye. These are things that we tend to dismiss, but how many of you have had weird dreams? Okay, this is why we don't pay attention to our dreams, right? But God can give us dreams and visions that are specific to our time, but are also instructive for our well-being. They help guide what the Lord is doing in our lives. Now, there are some qualifiers I want us to have. So God spoke to Joseph. Remember, how many of you remember Joseph and Pharaoh? How many of you remember Joseph and his brothers? Okay, there are so many accounts within Scripture where God talked to his people, gave them advance warning or direction about what was coming through a vision or through a dream. Now, Paul, when he was walking through Thessalonica and he saw the Macedonian in a vision, he saw, was saying, come, preach the gospel here. And he went across. That's in Acts chapter 16. So that was a vision he saw. Peter, when he was battling about whether he should eat certain kinds of food or whether he should participate with unbelievers or Gentiles, God spoke to him in a vision. So these are things where God could give instruction to a person or a group of people through what we will call pictures in your mind's eye or sleeping dreams, where the Lord will give us certain things. So I want us to be in a place where we don't overlook that as weird or vague. That's a tendency the church tends to do. Why? Because we have the Bible. So we're like, we have the Bible, so we don't need to see anything else. Right? Wrong. Because the Word of God is given for our instruction that it becomes the anchor by which we see everything else. Now, when God gives to us visions and dreams and impressions and just a knowing sometimes, I take it back to the Word of God and say, Lord, what does your Word say? Does it line up with what God's heart is towards His church? Does it line up with what God has said explicitly in His Word? So the explicit makes what is not explicit clear. So the things that I have as an impression, I start to bring back to the Word of God and start to see it borne out. So I want us to have a heart posture that says, I want to embrace and receive what God is saying, but I want to be someone who discerns rightly according to the written Word of God. Okay? So this is a simple way for you to understand this. So I'm just going to lay this out for you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. This is a tendency the church has when something feels out of our control. We want to be able to say, let me put a whole bunch of controls around it so that I know what is happening and I can control what happens. He says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. So there will be things that God is telling us as a church that our tendency is to go, okay, I'm just going to back away from that. Rather than say, I'm going to put my head forward and test it according to the Word of God. Are you hearing me? So our posture is not one like this, but rather like this to say, I want to test what God is saying so that I can receive and I can move with the Lord. So first, it needs to line up with God's Word. So whether it is through a prophetic utterance, or if it's a word of wisdom, or an encouragement, an exhortation, or if it comes through dreams or visions, you don't have to be worried about how these things are coming as much as saying, does this line up with God's Word? Number one, does it bear spiritual fruit? How many of you know Galatians 5, 19 through 21? Right? The fruit of the Spirit, and then the fruit of the flesh. Is it bearing the fruit of the flesh? Whatever is being said, whatever is being talked about, is it bearing the fruit of the flesh, or is it bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is it bearing these things, or is it bearing fits of anger, jealousy, rivalries, dissensions, division, enmity, strife, sorcery, idolatry, sensuality, impurity, sexual immorality? That's a very good place for you to go to and say, what is it bearing? What is this word that I'm hearing producing? First, does it line up with God's word? So some things can sound like it's God's word, but it does not bear the fruit of God's word. So I need to also have something that bears fruit. Is it personal or is it public? Is the Lord speaking to me or is he giving me something to bring to my brothers and sisters? Lastly, do I have counsel? And this is something that is very important. Proverbs 11 verse 14, it says, in the abundance of counsel, there's safety. So this is why God put us in a body where we're not up to one person's revelations and special, I have special revelations from God. We take everything according and we bring it into subjection under God's word, and then we test it together. Now, all of these things I'm saying is something we practice. And I want to just invite Frank up to share with us, because he had a series of dreams several months ago. And he brought it to me first, and then he brought it to us as elders. And he said, I believe this is for the church. And then we as elders got together and we said, we are going to wait before the Lord and we're going to test all these things, whether these things are so. Whether this is something the Lord is saying to the church or is just somebody thinking that whatever they have is for the church. So we made sure we did our diligence of going into the word and saying, does this line up with God's heart and his written word? Then to say, amongst the abundance of counsel that we have, we see this will bear good fruit within the church. It is not something that brings the church into condemnation. It is for the building up and edifying of the church. And lastly, we agree that there is a, yes, this is from the Lord for us. Now, I just want you to see that this is a process that we would love to do with all things as we grow. Not run through the elders specifically as much as saying, if there is something that bothers you or something that you're feeling, this is something from the Lord, bring it to the elders. Bring it to people who God has placed over you so that we can fan to flame the gift of God in you. So that we're not sitting there going, I don't know if God speaks to me. God does speak to you. But we want to be people who line it up with the word of God and do so in a healthy way. All right? Cool. Can you come and share with us? Because I wanted to give you this pretext so that when you hear what Frank is saying, you're not going, well, what is that? What is this? We're people who have sat with this for over, was it 4 or 5 months now, Frank? It's actually a couple of years. Yeah. But with us as elders, we've sat with this for several months now. All right.
So I notice you emphasize the old man shall dream dreams part. Appreciate that. I'm actually, before I talk about the dreams, I'm going to give you something that's free, but it will be incontrovertible proof that God indeed does exist. No doubts. Today, this very day, is Elisa and my 46th wedding anniversary. That is proof that God is miraculous. Not on my part, but certainly my wife's part. She has said sometimes to me, Frank, sometimes you are a very difficult man to live with. Really? Not very nice, but I understood it, certainly. I'm going to do a brief prayer, if I might. Father, I ask, Lord, that eyes would be open and ears would be able to hear what you desire for the brothers and sisters to hear and understand, God, that it would be purely from your lips. I ask this in Jesus' name. So I want you to all understand that this is a word meant to be a word of encouragement. It is not meant to be, here we go again, more pounding or anything like that. This is something that God desires for his people to hear and know, because it will be an encouragement for you. It will be a blessing for you. So I had two dreams in November of 2024, a week apart from each other. And basically what it comes down to, there's going to be two tracks on this. One is there is going to be and now is a great evil that is coming upon this world, as such that the world has not seen before. Understand that this rise is because there is a coming that the Lord is bringing, that as he rises in the church and as he matures his body in the church, there is an equal force of evil that will come against that. So it's much like the wheat and the tares. When the master looks at his field and the servant says, "Should we cut the tares out now?" And he goes, "Nope. Wait till these things mature. Wait till they grow. Then we'll be able to separate the good from the evil." And so that's what's occurring now. There will be a great emphasis on evil on the planet, but there will be also be a great emphasis on the kindness and the goodness and the miraculousness of God. You see what I'm saying? There's always the rise of the Christ, and then there's the rise of the Antichrist. That stuff always goes together like that. So, the first dream that I had, I was on a cruise ship. I found out about 3 years ago that I love cruising. Never thought I would. So I'm on this cruise ship, and I'm looking out at the balcony, and it's storming outside the balcony on my room. The sea is black and gray, and it looks like it's boiling. We've been in a storm once on the beach, and the water actually looked like it was boiling. It was a tropical storm. And it's the weirdest thing, but that's what the sea was like. And then so I thought, that's kind of unusual. I walked out of my room, and there's about 2 feet of water in the hallway. And I'm going, that's really unusual. So I trudge along, and I start up the steps because I know I need to get to the height. And I see this woman sitting on the steps, and she's facing the wall. And it looks like the ship is underwater. There's a window there, and she's just looking at it. So I run past her, and I go all the way up to the top. And as I stand there, it's still storming like crazy. And then all of a sudden, the boat crests on top of a wave, and it's just sunshine, beautiful, calm, warm, delicious. And then it goes back down again amidst the storm. So I walk back down there, and I pass the woman on my right, and then my dream is over. So I ask the Lord, say, what's going on here? The storm is evil coming upon the planet. The woman that's sitting on the steps is a part of the church, but the ones that stay really outside of the church. Think of the intimacy circles that the Lord had. He embraced the 3, and then the 12, and then the 72, and then the 500. The Lord wants us all to be pressed into where the 3 area is, not be sitting where the woman is, just kind of like, I'm watching, I think I'll be okay. But this is something that God wants us to press into. Because what he's saying is, look, even with this evil coming upon the planet, I have given you an understanding that where I dwell, it's calm, it's peaceful, it's sunshiny, and it's beautiful. And you sit with me, right? Are we seated with Christ? If we're seated with Christ, then we're with him. And the very power that raised him from the grave lives within us. We are in him, he is in us. So our answer when we see this craziness coming about, we know we can rise above it because we seek out our Father. We sit where he sits. We dwell where he dwells. We think the thoughts that he thinks. My second dream. I was in an airplane this time. And I hate to fly, by the way. Hate that. So I'm in this plane. And all of a sudden, the plane tilts perpendicular. And I'm looking. And of course, I'm over an ocean. Same ocean I was on the ship. Roiling, black, storming. And I'm concerned. So this woman that I know, who is a flight attendant, walks over to me while I'm looking out down there in the water, and we're about 20 feet off the water. She brings this physical therapy pillow. I don't know if you ever have back problems or leg problems, they get this thing that looks like a big triangle. They tuck it under your legs to relieve pain. It's a pain reliever while they work on you. Obviously, if you have a pain reliever, there has to be what? There has to be some pain. But see, God is saying, I will provide pain relief for you. Then I watch this woman who I know walk to the front of the plane. She bends down and she pulls up this ramp. And I realize it's a place of escape. Like the Lord said, when temptation comes, I'll provide a way of escape so that you can bear it, which means you got to go through it. So this escape hatch that this woman pulls up is communicating to us that the temptation, which I always thought was more of a sexual sin temptation, but this was a temptation of for us not to give up, for us not to roll over and say, I'm done with this. I can't deal with this insanity anymore. I am finished. That's not where the Lord wants you to go. Where does he want you to go? Up into the sky where things are nice and warm and sunny and beautiful. And he wants us to hang on to that. He does not want us to look outside and say, I'm going to judge and walk my walk by what I see out there, but what I know to be true. What I know to be true. The woman's name, I know her name, I'm not going to give it to you, but it translates, her first name translates into harvest or reaping. Her last name translates into one who dwells by a stream. Now, what I saw is that the Lord said, this is the time of a great harvest, actually the great harvest. And the stream is the way the Lord portrays the Spirit of the Lord. Remember, he says, out of you shall come living waters, the stream. So you have been tasked, actually honored, to be a part of one of the greatest cataclysmic historical events ever to occur on this planet. That's Yin's guys. You get to be a part of this. That the Lord has set aside old heads, very, very young kids. As a matter of fact, those of you who have children, those of you who will have children in the near future, need to understand that the Lord has tasked these children that we have now as the ushering in part. Do you know what this generation's name is? Alpha. It's called the Alpha Generation. Pretty wild when I read that. It's new. It's something we think about what is coming as death, but what God is saying, it's new. I'm giving newness of life. What you will begin to see is life-giving, and you're asked to be a part of it. And your children will be the ones to usher in that. They've been given the responsibility to do that. And another thing I would like to tell you about your children is that when you hear them say things that sounds like it should come out of a man who's 40 years old, you need to listen to that. When they come to you with some weird dream and say, this is what happened to me, or I felt like I got a visitation last night, they may not use those words, but they'll tell you somebody came into my room and this is what they spoke to me. You need to listen to that. And you need to encourage these things that they're beginning to develop. This is an intentional move of God right now, and you need to encourage this. So, we got the great evil, but we also got, and I wish I could communicate this to you, this is a wondrous time. This will be a time of miracles that the people of this planet have never seen. This is a time of joy, a time of peace, a time of God's power. This is going to be something that if you were writing something down, nobody would ever have heard this before. I'm just encouraging you to make sure you think correctly, you walk correctly, and that you stay tied in with God and the intimacy of God. Finally, when we're talking about the evil part and the miraculous part, I read something that concerned me. It was put out by the what it said was they put a survey out, and they said fully 46% of this planet's adults have highly anti-Semitic views. And we're seeing this, it just seemed like overnight it just cropped up. That translates to 2.2 billion people. That's what we're facing. And be aware, this is not an anti-Jewish thing. This is an anti-Christ thing. This is an anti-God thing. This evil is going to perpetrate that more and more. But what are we going to do? We're going to walk. We're going to be in love with God. He is going to bless us. He's going to provide us with pain relief. He's going to provide us a way of escape so we don't give up. And we're going to walk into the miracles that God has for us. And we're going to raise our kids so that they move forward as well. All right. If you have any questions, if you need any further communication in terms of what does all this stuff mean, you can certainly come to me after, Judah, or any of the other elders that you might want to speak to, and we'll gladly talk to you. I thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Robert.
Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here. I'm going to share a little bit with you this morning about the God whom you serve. And it's one who transforms us. He takes this dirt and this clay, and he begins to mold it into something entirely different. I'm going to begin with a psalm that I want to act as a prayer, Psalm 25. And it reads, "Make me know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." God's desire is to teach you his ways. His desire is to transform you into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul writes that I continue to labor until Christ be formed in you. And I want to take this passage from Isaiah. And I want to read it, and then I want to talk a little bit about it. It's Isaiah 41, 18 to 20. "I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I will put the cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert together with the box tree and the cypress. that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. We have here a picture of a desert, a dry place, without much life in it. And God says, you know what I want to do? I am going to make it a garden. I'm going to make it a forest. It's going to be flowing with water and life. And everybody will recognize that something has happened and I am the one who has done it. God transforms. There is, go not to the Ephesians, go to the next one. God has ways. And all you have to do is look in the Bible and you see various ways that he's transformed. He's taken a shepherd, a boy, and made him a king. He took a persecutor of the church and made him an apostle. He's taken you who were separate from him and joined you to him. He takes simple water and turns it into wine. He takes dry bones and brings them to life. He takes the lost and lets them be found. God transforms. And I have an illustration. This is not my lunch, by the way, in case you were thinking that it was. God has a way of transforming things, and I want to share this with you. Yeah, one of my toys in the attic. This is a little tractor trailer truck. Yeah. But what it really is, it's Optimus Prime. The supreme commander of the Autobots, who fights against evil and deception. Well, it doesn't look like that, does it? Well, I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Someone who has got skills at figuring out what needs to be done here and in-depth understanding of this hidden gem that's in this truck. Oh, I see a hand back there. I have a volunteer. Oh, an elder. An elder has volunteered to come and do this. Yes, Nevin. Show. Come. Come and show them how to transform this into the Optimus Prime. And let me see. Let's see whether you can actually do it in a minute. Ready, set. Don't break it. It's not mine, okay? It's your grandson, so you're losing time, okay?
Has the minute started?
Oh, it started as soon as you stepped up here. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
I quit? May I break it?
No, you may not.
Okay.
Don't break it. No!
Oh. Well, I did.
Jeez. What's the last thing I told him? Don't break it.
I quit. He quits.
I can't do this.
Okay. Maybe somebody else can. All right. I'm going to dismiss you. Oh, I have another volunteer here. Okay, Finn. I'm trying to put the broken pieces back together. It was your grandfather who did that, okay? Okay. They actually come off?
Yeah, okay.
Ready? Time, go! starting to take shape. Oh, there's his head. Oh, show them. Look at this. It's no longer a tractor trailer truck, is it? Yep. It's who?
Optimus Prime.
Ooh, thank you. Why don't you just, as a reward, just take that with you and, okay. You can have the bag too. Well, there's actually a point to all of this. Those of you who are wondering what the point is, I'm trying to make it up as we go. God is in the business of transforming you, not you transforming yourself. See, transforming yourself is like having Nevin trying to make those adjustments and breaking the kid's toy. But God is the expert, and he comes along and he knows what to twist and what to turn and what to shape in you. And you say, God, that's great. You are molding me into your image. Well, before we go to the next slide, don't go there yet. I'm going to talk about something called inhibitors. Now, inhibitors are real things. They are, well, once we get the definition up there, but I want to explain what happens when you have a lot of, you have biological inhibitors and you have chemical inhibitors. Wait a minute, I better clarify this. Please, number one, don't go out and tell your friends that we talked about inhibitors in church. They will just flock in here wanting to hear about it, and we just don't have room for them all. So number one, don't tell friends, relatives, coworkers, co-students, we talked about inhibitors in church. The second thing I want to make a point of is that what you're going to hear in the next 15 seconds is all I know about inhibitors. Don't ask me any questions about it. Don't correct me. What you're seeing is what you're going to get. But it makes a point, I think. Okay, let's have a definition of an inhibitor up there. Inhibitors are molecules or substances that slow down, decrease, or completely stop chemical or biological reactions. They most commonly work by binding to enzymes to block their activity. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. Here's this little happy molecule. Let's say he's in your body and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And this inhibitor shows up next to him. And he latches onto him. And it slows what that molecule is doing. Or in some cases, it overtakes it. And the molecule no longer functions the way it's supposed to. See, you have free will. And while God wants to transform you, you have a set of inhibitors that show up and say, nope, not interested. Let's go to the next slide. I have to apologize because you're Americans. Oh, if you weren't Americans, this would be so much easier. But what did we just celebrate? 250 years of independence. We are independent people. We do it our way. Don't go telling me what to do. And we grow up in this culture, literally a culture that loves that, supports it. Yeah, I'm an American, and I do it my way. I don't remember whether it was late 60s or early 70s. Old Blue Eyes. And, I know. Judah says, don't bring up old things, okay? These people don't know what happened in the 60s. Well, maybe you have heard of Frank Sinatra, maybe not, okay? I'm doing it anyway. Old Blue Eyes. Well, he had a song that was called My Way, and we loved it. It was great. Bum. I did it my way. And here's the last stanza of it. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Really good rhyming there. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. My way. Well, I'm going to entertain you with some inhibitors that show up in you. And the way I know that they show up in you is they show up in me. It's not as if I have overcome these next six inhibitors. I just want to point them out to you. And, you know, if it fits, great. If it doesn't, pass it off. So the first one, we are stubborn. We are stubborn. Now, if you're a parent and you have a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, or a 5-year-old, you know what stubborn is. Oh, if you're married, you know what stubborn is. If you look in the mirror, you know what stubborn is. And so the passage from Zechariah reads, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. And they made their hearts like flint, so they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Stubborn. It is an inhibitor that shows up and slows the transformation process. It may even stop it. Because you have a free will. Saul, king of Israel, was told to wait for Samuel before he made sacrifice. He was fighting the Amalekites. He was told to kill everything. All the cattle, all the goats, even the king. Kill them all. Well, the story goes, and that's in 1 Samuel 15. Saul neglected to kill the best of the cattle and the sheep and the goats. And he failed to kill the king. Captured him, but he didn't kill him. And Samuel shows up, and he says, "What were you told to do?" Now, Saul is confronted. He knows what he was told to do. But he makes an excuse. He said, "Well, I didn't kill all of the animals because I kept the best to make sacrifice to the Lord." Lie. But he's making an excuse. And Samuel says, "I want to tell you about stubbornness. Stubbornness can be equated with loving idolatry and witchcraft." Woo! Think about that the next time you are stubborn. And your wife says, "Would you take the garbage out?" "I took it out last night." Stubborn. It's an inhibitor that comes along and slows the process. Let's go to the next inhibitor, and then I'm going to stop, because my wife is teaching Activate. And she said, "You better be done at 11:45. And I'm not stubborn. So we make excuses. From Luke. I'll have to read it fast. "I will follow you wherever you go." Some disciple comes up to him and says that. And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." And another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. I want to say goodbye." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." See, we have inhibitors that we love excuses. We love excuses. "I'm too busy. I can't do that. I'm tired. I worked all day." "It's because of my childhood. I was neglected. Nobody cared for me. I had to make my own lunch sandwiches. I can't do what you're trying to transform me into. My past. Don't you know my past? It's there before everybody. It's in neon signs. You look, go by the church, and there it is up in the neon signs, all about my life. I can't do this." And we come up with excuses. Excuses that hinder what God is changing us into. And I always thought, man, let the dead bury the dead. But Jesus is making a point. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses for not doing what I say. Don't make excuses for not following me. Uh-oh. It's 11:45. Amen. So I will those of you who would like to hear the other four, yeah, which will just tickle you pink, they will be delivered next week, along with a little bit more, how do I set aside these inhibitors? Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you love us and care for us, watch over us, and give to us. We thank you that you are the God who transforms. You take us where we are and move us on. Help us, Lord, to embrace your hand upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk in the things that you have. Help us, Lord, to learn your ways and follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen.